figuring out the tip after a meal is just part of the way we eat out here in the United States. It can be a brain drain after a few glasses of wine and a heavy meal, or a headache for big parties. Sometimes the server gets stiffed on the tip, sometimes the service is bad no matter what you pay, but for some reason the custom of tipping keeps on going.
Our next guest says there's really no shortage of good reasons to just get rid of tipping already. Elizabeth Dunn joins us now. She covers food and travel in print for the Wall Street Journal and online for Esquire. Elizabeth, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tipping your server in restaurants has been around for a long time. By now, we're pretty much used to it here. What bugs you about the practice of tipping?
So I think for me, it really all comes down to fairness and figuring out a way to compensate servers fairly. So a lot of people say that what they like about tipping is actually that they feel that it's a fair system in the sense that they can see what kind of a job someone does and then decide to sort of compensate them based on the job they did, the work that they did. But actually, when you look into the research about what motivates tip size and how tip size vary, it's really anything but fair. It comes down to a lot of aspects that are out of the server's control, like, for instance, how much you ordered, how expensive menu prices are, how full the restaurant is. And then also just aspects like the research shows that servers that are, you know, women will be tipped better than men, more attractive servers will be tipped better than less attractive servers, white servers will be tipped less than black servers. So these are all things that are not really how we like to think about compensating people in the U.S.
And it seems as though the food industry is one of the only industries that does this, that accounts for this variable to provide a big chunk of the server's wages. Why is that?
Well, I think originally it did start in the food industry. Tipping came over as practice from the UK and Europe, where it was used in taverns and bars and sometimes in private houses to tip the staff. But why it stayed as relevant as it has, I think it really comes down to customer preference. So people will consistently see a restaurant that has voluntary tipping as cheaper than a restaurant where the tipping would be rolled into the price of the food. And even though in the end the math may work out that the place you tip costs you more at the end of the day than the one where you just pay the bill and the tip's included, people like to see that, you know, the $10 hamburger instead of the $13 hamburger, for instance.
Yeah, I've been at restaurants where the gratuity is included because maybe you're a big party, but I haven't been to a restaurant where the tip is already included. Are they becoming more common?
They're becoming a little bit more common. I think statistically speaking, it's still extremely rare. And it's still something that's really on the high end of restaurants. There are some of Thomas Keller's restaurants, for instance, which are very fancy places, not everyday places, have a mandatory gratuity of 18% that's just added in. Along the way, there's a place called Sushi Yasuda in New York City that has rolled the cost of servers' wages into the cost of the meal. So it's happening a little bit more, but it's far from common.
One really interesting thing that you write about, you say that, you know, if you talk to people, most people will say that they hate tipping, that it's kind of a drag and they don't like doing the math and all of the usual things. But in fact, people actually do like tipping when it comes right down to it. How do you explain that?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think nobody likes actually having to fork out the extra money at the end of the meal and do that math. But people do consistently show that they will prefer a restaurant where they can choose the size of the tip to one where the wait staff is just compensated, you know, by the management. So I think it's just, again, that sticker shock argument of you see the menu price and that's how you're judging what the cost of your meal will be. And so, you know, the fact that gratuity is rolled in won't necessarily kind of factor into your mental process.
Do you think there's psychology involved in it, too, the fact that if you get a really a server who is not delivering the kind of service you'd like, that you can, you know, a tip is a statement. It's not just money. It says something.
I think it really, people love feeling that they do have the option to do that. And it's a really tricky concept because what you perceive as a failing on the part of the server might actually be something that's totally out of the server's control. So, for instance, you know, you're interacting with the server, but the restaurant as a whole is such a it's such a complex web of interactions and it's such a big team. So, you know, your drink might not have come in time because the bartender was behind, or maybe, you know, your food was cooked incorrectly and you kind of blamed the server for that. So that's a dangerous thing about tipping, I think.
You describe it as an obligation, described as a choice, or, you know, sort of mislabeled as a choice. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's really confusing for people because it's called a gratuity. And so on the one hand, it feels like something extra you're doing for the server. But in actuality, servers are paid based on the assumption that the tips will make up most of their pay. And I think people understand that more or less. But what most people don't realize is that the minimum wage for tip servers in the U.S. is $2.13 an hour. So, you know, these people are really, their wages are really coming from your tips. So it is, in that sense, it is an obligation in the sense that what you decide to tip someone is determining their economic livelihood. It's not just a little something extra for them.
Do you have any sense about how servers themselves feel about tipping, whether they prefer to go to just a plain base salary or if they like it? I mean, I've been a server and I remember working, you know, some brunches, some high traffic times. And it would sometimes feel like you really made out well that day on tips.
Yeah, I think you hear a range of different things from servers. I've spoken to a lot of them after having done some of this writing on the topic. And they're nervous about the idea that if you were to eliminate tips, would restaurants really raise wages enough so that they were making the same amount of money. If you talk, there are a lot of servers who say, you know, I'm really good at my job and I feel like I make a premium because of it. And I love that about tips. But what you also hear from people, you know, who are junior in the industry or maybe not working at such lucrative places is that it's extremely stressful to not know day to day how much money you're going to bring home. And that really wears you down. And so it can kind of, what a lot of restaurant managers I've spoken to have said is they feel that it really works against the overall camaraderie of the restaurant because people are so sort of distracted by worrying about, am I going to be able to make ends meet?
We're going to go to our phone lines now. And by the way, we'll be taking your calls throughout the rest of this this interview on tipping here. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How do you feel about tipping? Do you think it's a good practice or do you think it's just confusing and maybe it's not fair? We're going to go to Charlie in Milwaukee. Hi, Charlie.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I must say that in general, I have never liked tipping. I have always wished that it was done and added into the meal so I didn't have to think or anything like that regarding the tip for the server. However, there have been occasions where the server has been so good and so exceptional and added to the meal that the tip became a way for me to say thank you more than just saying you've done a great job. And there are times where I've tipped 25 to 30% on an expensive meal where I did feel that the wait staff added to the meal, giving suggestions, and truly making it a wonderful experience. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Charlie. And there we go again, talking about, you know, tipping being sort of a statement, a way to say thank you, which is, I guess, how it's intended. But what would you say to Charlie?
Well, I would say Charlie is somebody who we should all look up to because he's in the minority of people who actually use tips to really actively reward people in the sense of going above and beyond the 15 to 20% that's kind of considered standard now. I would say if tipping is eliminated and so you're no longer able to express your appreciation with money that way, a great thing to do instead would be to have comment cards for the restaurant. And so, you know, you can tell the owner or the manager of the restaurant what an exceptional job this person did, and you hope that it comes across in a bonus and a promotion. So you can still register your appreciation. It might not be with the cash in hand, but it's still possible.
See, that's interesting, though, because you finish a meal. The nice thing maybe about, you know, one of the nice things about ending tipping is that you could just pay your bill and you can leave. If you add comment cards, it's sort of another ritualized thing that you then have to go through. And instead of simplifying things, it just keeps it complicated.
That's true. I mean, you could also think about just, you know, mentioning something on your way out the door to the maitre d'. It sort of depends. I guess I would just say that for every Charlie who says, boy, this meal was sensational, I'm going to give 25 or 30%, there's more than one person who says, well, I'm in a bad mood and I didn't think this person paid enough attention to me or, you know, she didn't smile enough. I think I'm going to give her 10%. So it definitely has, there's such a big downside to it that it probably more than makes up for the potential upside.
All right, let's take another call here. Brad is joining us next in Appleton. Hi, Brad.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. It seems like a lot of places are doing splits now, where it doesn't really matter if your waiter or waitress does a good job and you tip them well, because they have to share their tips with the rest of the staff, and that just doesn't seem fair either.
Okay, so the splitting up of the tip. What about that, Elizabeth?
Yes, so tip pools. It's a really interesting subject, and it's something that's gotten restaurants in a lot of trouble over the years. And I believe the rule there is that restaurants are not allowed to ask servers to pool their tips and to use them to compensate non-tipped employees. So I think that's the rule, but otherwise the restaurant could and often does pool the tips. So it's a great point, because effectively once you're pooling tips, you're turning it into more of a wage, where people get a sort of portion of the overall take from the night. Most restaurants do it exactly because they want to insulate a given person from being really damaged by a bad tip. You know, if you were working a big table all night and they gave you almost no tip, that could make it difficult for you to make rent that week. So they're trying to keep that from being the case. But it also definitely does make it difficult for the tip to become really tightly correlated to the performance of the given server.
We're talking with Elizabeth Dunn right now. She says it's time to get rid of the impractical and unfair custom of tipping our servers after a meal.
We want to know what you think. Are you ready to ditch tipping? Do you work in the restaurant industry? What do you think of tips? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Elizabeth Dunn right now. She says it's time to get rid of tipping. It's impractical, it's unfair, and maybe we should move on to a model where the tipping is included in the price of the food and the servers have a steady wage. We've got a link to her piece, Ban Tipping, on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we want to know what you think. Should we get rid of tipping, or do you want to make the case in favor of tipping? What do you think of it as a customer or as a server? Call 800-642-1234 or leave your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
Elizabeth, one thing I want to ask you before we go to our full phone lines here is you say that tipping does not make any economic sense. Why is that?
Well, not to get too wonky about it, but standard economic theory says that we usually give something when we get something in return. And so if I, pay you $2 and I get an apple, that's a transaction that makes sense. The funny thing about tipping is that it's money you give after the service has already been provided, and you're not actually obligated to give the money. It's technically optional. So it's not really clear economically why we would choose to do that. What if, if you're not planning on returning to the restaurant, which a lot of people don't, why pay money for something, a service that's already been rendered, when it's optional? So it's sort of a funny economic thing.
So I guess we could move to tipping a really big amount before we get served and then hope that
exactly.
The service matches it.
That would in a lot of ways make more sense.
All right, let's go to our phones. We got Mike on the line in Door County. Hi, Mike.
Hi. We recently took a motel shuttle from the motel to the airport, and it was early morning and we were still kind of sleepy. And halfway in the ride, we saw a note that was taped to the back of the driver's seat. And it said, "I am a volunteer driver. Thank you for your generous tip." For one thing, it gave a very bad impression of the motel. They can't afford to pay somebody to drive their vehicle. And I just wondered if that's something that's happening more and more.
Okay, interesting. I haven't heard of that. Elizabeth?
Yeah, I would say that's kind of shame on the motel for having somebody have to volunteer to drive their shuttle. That's not something that I'm aware is happening more, but I mean, it could be the case. I'm not that tied into the hotel or those areas of hospitality. So, gosh, that sounds pretty awful.
All right. Thanks, Mike. And let's go to Jason in Appleton. Hi, Jason.
Hey, I also agree. I have some friends, really close friends, that were over in Europe last year in England, and obviously, the same way, there wasn't any tipping there. The guy thought it was preposterous that they tried to tip. If they wanted to really get the bartender something, you could buy him a drink, but like he made a wage, his place of employment paid his wage. I can't even think of another example in the country here where where that method, that you know, that way works, where you don't have to pay your employees but require that the patron pay a substantial amount to the employees. We had Easter dinner with my family at like a buffet style place, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and we were wondering about tipping there because they're the servers. I'm sure they're not making, you know, that they depend on tips as well, but they weren't really doing anything other than cleaning our plates up. So we were kind of confused, like, do we tip the same amount you'd pay a full server who was tending to you and bringing out your food and taking your order? Because it was a buffet, it was a little different. So that was a little bit confusing as well.
No, interesting. Some good points there, Jason. And that gets at the confusion that can surround tipping. Elizabeth, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's all part of the confusion. You know, what does it mean if you're someplace where it's not really full service, but there's some service? How about if you're at a bar and you're seated at a table and getting getting service from a server there, but it's for drinks? Do you still tip 20% on drinks, which seems to be really high? I'm interested also in bringing up Europe and how it works there. I hear from a lot of consumers who are worried that if you were to take away tipping, that service in the U.S. would get worse. And my response is usually, if you go to Europe or even further on the spectrum is Japan, where I think it's arguably the best service culture in the world, and there's absolutely no tipping. So those are sort of my arguments for it's not really giving servers the credit they deserve to think that they're only going to do a good job if there's extra money on the line. I think they care more about their jobs than that.
Well, and in terms of fairness, another angle here that we haven't talked about yet is, you write that servers seem to discriminate against some customers no matter what, and that's a pretty grim argument for getting rid of tipping. What did you find there?
Yeah, so this has some work done by a man named Michael Lin, who's a professor up at the Cornell School of Hospitality, School of Hotel Management, and he's studied tipping extensively in his work there over the past couple decades. And he has found that, you know, servers pretty quickly form stereotypes based on how different cultural groups tend to tip, you know, racially or in terms of age or gender or any of those things. And so they'll proactively give better service to a table that they feel is going to tip better. So, for instance, African-Americans on average tip less than Caucasians. And as a result, they often, unfortunately, get worse service. And so it's something that is really perpetuating some pretty terrible stereotypes all over the place.
And this getting rid of tipping then would solve that kind of thing and level the playing field for everybody.
Yeah, exactly, because the server wouldn't have to be so concerned about where they're going to actually be able to make ends meet.
All right, let's go next to Luis joining us in Lake Geneva. Hi there.
How you doing? My name is Luis, and I currently waiter at Tempura House in Lake Geneva. And I, for one, don't discriminate to anyone I serve, because you never judge a book by its cover. And from my experience, whether it's Caucasian, black, white, any nationality, you get all across the board different tips. And it basically depends on the service you provide, how nice you are, how you come in, and how you provide that experience to those individuals. I believe that if tips are taken off, then there's definitely going to have to be an hourly wage suitable for the waiter to make a living, you know, whether it's minimum wage or $10 an hour. But basically, when someone's going to a restaurant, they tip those individuals based off of the experience that the food they got served. And that's basically all I wanted to say. But I totally believe that tips should remain. And those who do, you know, judge people, you know, just basically by color or ethnicity, those are people who shouldn't be waitering, because if people who know they're going to a restaurant, they know that those people who are serving, the waiters and waitresses, are basically living off of tips.
All right. Thanks so much, Luis. Appreciate your perspective. Luis saying he doesn't discriminate when he's tipping and when he's serving, and he thinks that we should leave tipping in place. What do you think?
Well, I think that's definitely, it's unfair to say that, you know, certainly every server, the majority of servers, are making the same types of calculations and they look at their guests. And so there are certainly many out there who are not discriminating at all when they're serving guests. But I would say, in terms of, you know, worrying about, you know, thinking, because obviously Louise says, I do a great job and I feel like my tips go according to that, and I would hate to lose that based on, you know, being paid now by the restaurant. I would say that what you would hope to see in a situation where there were no longer tips is not just that then every waiter everywhere got the same wage and it was a minimum wage. What you would expect to see and what I would hope to see is that the wages would vary according to all the different reasons why wages vary in any profession. So if you're a really experienced, really great server, you're going to get paid more than somebody who's less experienced and maybe not as good. So you will still see a benefit to doing a really great job.
Okay, let's take another call here. We have Jim joining us from Waukesha. Oh, and by the way, Luis, thank you for calling. Jim, hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much.
Sure.
This is an interesting topic. I have two daughters that spent summer jobs for 2 summers working at the same restaurant. They could be mistaken for twins, so I'm going to take away the what they look like part. One would consistently make $75 a day, and one would consistently make $150 a day, working the same tables at the same shifts. And one of them just looked at it as, you know, this is just a job and I'm just going to take whatever I get. My other daughter looked at it as an entrepreneurial opportunity where she was in control of what she earned and she really worked hard to perfect her craft and she made at least double every single night.
Okay, so interesting. Thank you, Jim. And Elizabeth, do you want to speak to that? Do some servers really stand out and therefore bring home a lot more money?
Yeah, I think what's sort of interesting to look at is the types of things that a server can do to change how much they make. So there are some concrete and sort of funny things you can do as a server to up your wages. So one is, for instance, putting a smiley face on a check, but only if you're a female server, that seems to work. Making body contact with the table. So, for instance, putting an arm on somebody's shoulder briefly, or a hand on someone's shoulder briefly and touching them. Kneeling down next to the table has been shown to increase tips. So there are things you can do. I don't know whether those things actually add up to what I would call better service as much as sort of tricks of the trade. But there are certainly things you can do to motivate better tips.
And we'll leave it there. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Elizabeth Dunn. She writes for The Wall Street Journal and Esquire.